And tonight, for the first time, I will talk a little longer than usual. By now, you know I don't like monologues. I prefer to put the spotlight on our guests and ask the questions. However, it is now time to deliver what I consider to be Veritas disclosure. Many of you have been asking me when I was going to share more information as to how and why I started this project. I gave a 3-hour lecture at a MUFON chapter in Arizona and decided to share my story there, along with the best of Veritas. I'm very happy to report it was very well received, and people were puzzled and intrigued with what I'm about to share with you. For months, I debated if to even mention it, as it would seem fascinating to some and trivial to others. I have been an open-minded skeptic all my life. Thus our motto: I don't want to believe, I want to know. Growing up, my pastime was to ask questions. The younger I was, the more questions I asked. Slowly, with time, that urge to ask questions seemed to somewhat dissipate. At home, at school, questions were welcomed, as long as they were part of the curriculum. Anything outside those boundaries would be met with ridicule or the usual, "I don't know, but that's the way it is." Let me start by saying that I consider myself a regular person, without having been lucky to have had a UFO sighting or contact, even until now. I don't possess any sixth sense and have never experienced anything paranormal. I simply have, as I have said on multiple occasions, an overly developed sense of wonder. I have had my share of experiences that I cannot explain. Some people don't believe in coincidences, and nor do I. I will let you be the judge tonight. As some of you may have heard before, I'm a Spanish American. My family went from Spain to Cuba. Then they immigrated to Puerto Rico after the Cuban Missile Crisis, where my brothers and I were born. The very first experience that I cannot explain was as follows. I was at about 4 or 5, walking with a great aunt down my street, and all of a sudden I stopped her and I pointed at a very nice house and I told her, "That house looks just like your house in Cuba." All of a sudden, my great aunt starts crying. And I asked her why she was crying. She replied, "That house looks just like my house in Cuba." Since I come from a very conservative Catholic family, anything paranormal was not discussed. I kept walking, scratching my head as to why I would know that that house looked like my aunt's house in Cuba. When I was about 5, I almost drowned in what I remember to be a deep water fountain or man-made pond. I was riding my bicycle and had my left foot on the pedal and the right foot on the concrete. I started leaning towards the water, lost my balance, and fell. I remember falling and falling and looking up as the light got dimmer. I still remember it almost in slow motion. Then, all of a sudden, my oldest brother jumped in and got me out. Some people say you're not supposed to remember events at that young age. Well, I remember vividly. At about 6 or 7, I developed my first crush on a girl at school. I had a dream one night that showed me a house and almost like permission to visit that house. The next day after school, I returned home and decided to walk and walk, far from home, about 1 or 2 miles. I had told my mother I was going to go play outside. Back in those days, as one of our past guests, Catherine Austin Fitz, would say, the popsicle index was pretty high and children were very safe. In any event, I finally stopped at the house that looked like the one in my dream. There was a fence and this huge German shepherd dog. The younger you are, the bigger dogs seem. All of a sudden, a lady hearing the dog bark comes out and says, "Son, are you lost?" And I said, "No, I just want to see Mary." That's not her real name. And the lady says, "Sure, let me tell her you're here." Guess what? The door opens and there comes Mary. She says hello and asks what I was doing there. My feeling of excitement was overshadowed by embarrassment. I said hello, looked down, and said goodbye and proceeded to walk back home. During my walk, all I could think of was, if I tell anyone about this, they're all gonna laugh at me. I don't even remember saying it to anyone until I was much older. But believe me when I tell you, there was no way I could have found that house. No one told me how to get there, and I didn't knock on every door on the way there. It just happened like that. Then, in 1974, Puerto Rico, being one of the corners of the Bermuda Triangle, experienced what was known back then as the Puerto Rico UFO wave. Then, one night, as I was watching the television, they were showing footage of a UFO. I had never heard of or seen a UFO, even on TV. An advertising company was filming a rum commercial on top of the city's tallest building. They were filming all night to make the effect of night and morning in just 30 seconds. When the footage was being edited, the staff noticed a light that moved from left to right and then to left again at an incredible speed. That footage was later analyzed by experts as genuine. I was fascinated with what I saw on TV, especially knowing that the UFO was close to my home. The next day I kept asking all the teachers, and the answer was always the same. Trick of light, a plane, a star, etc. But what struck me the most were some of the answers when asked if UFOs were real. Many answered that it was just science fiction and that I should stop asking questions. The ridicule factor had finally hit me, right from the gate. Weeks later, it was announced that Neil Armstrong was arriving in Puerto Rico in a cruise ship. I was there, but he never came out. He totally ignored the media. I was a big fan of the astronauts who walked on the moon. I wanted to ask him if he saw life up there. And then, all of a sudden, I got this thought that said to me, "Don't worry, one day you'll get to talk to one." I became fascinated by the topic and subscribed to every magazine there was, and I didn't care about people who laughed. I knew deep inside there was something I wasn't told, and I wasn't going to get disappointed with more fairy tales like the fat man dressed in red who comes during Christmas. That was enough gullibility and disappointment for me at the time. On January 19th, 1982, a Tuesday, I remember as if it was today, I was 14. I decided to empty my locker at school and filled my backpack to the limit. As I'm riding my bicycle home, a car hit me on the side. With the heavy backpack, I lost balance, fell head first. Then I remember how I was pinned under the car with the bicycle under me. I still can visualize how it was hot, and there were sparks coming from the bicycle pedal being dragged through the pavement under me. I remember yelling, "Stop!" And the car kept moving until it finally stopped. It felt like an eternity. When the car finally stopped, I saw the knuckles on my left hand almost white and bleeding. My watch destroyed. Then I looked to my right, and I couldn't see my right arm. It was pinched next to the tire. I'm making these stories shorter due to time limitations. Then a few men started to lift the car to get me out. My backpack was pinched on the bumper. And when they finally got my arm out, I remember how it was broken. My right hand was disfigured, and that's when I almost fainted. A police car took me to the hospital, and my mother arrived a few minutes later. The pain was unbearable. Luckily, I had a very good orthopedic surgeon. He was able, without anesthesia, to grab my arm and put all the bones back in place. There was bleeding and scratches, but not a stitch or surgery needed. They could not explain how I did not die, since the car kept going. The lady was so nervous, she pushed the accelerator instead of the brakes. I remember seeing her crying at the hospital hysterically, and I felt so bad for her. I kept telling her that it was not her fault. I always had this empathy and compassion in me. Valium and a cast, and I was sent home. For 3 months, I had to learn to use my left hand for everything. Although I was excused from writing in school, one teacher approached me and said, "You have two hands for a reason. You better start using your left hand." What a lesson she gave me. I had to learn how to shower, tie my shoes, eat, all with one hand. 3 months later, the cast was off, and there was a party taking place at a school. As I'm crossing a highway by foot at night, I jumped in the air and fell on my feet. A car without lights hit me. If I had walked 1 second faster, I wouldn't be here telling the story. The man stopped, apologized, and asked if I needed to go to the hospital, and I said no. I kept walking. That was another close call. To get my right hand in shape, I decided to take typing lessons, which, by the way, landed my first important corporate job because I knew how to type really fast. And also, I bought myself a guitar and some used drums back then. Fast forward a few years, still in the 80s. I kept attending UFO lectures and listening to investigators of every type. Although interesting, there was never anything concrete, except for the imaginary wolves that always hit me when no real answers were given. Oh, and forget about asking the priest at school. I was sent to the principal's office once when I was told twice to stop asking and talking about this subject. I'm not going to get into the details. Ben, a girlfriend in place and no room to be talking about this anymore. Here's another near-death experience. One Friday night, my girlfriend, another couple, and I were returning home. I was driving. As I'm exiting an underground tunnel, I heard a bang and then the windshield exploded. I was able to pull over. Don't ask me how. I think I may have opened the window since all I could see was shattered glass in front of me. All of a sudden, as I'm standing underneath a light, I see a small hole right in front of me. I look down and there's glass all over my legs. But then, I see a hole on my seat, right between my legs. A lock came through almost like a projectile, like a bullet, and went through the seat. 1 second later, and the lock would have gone through me, killing me. I was in shock for hours after that incident. Nothing happened to me, not even a scratch. I've mentioned before how one of my cousins was an aerospace engineer. He was the smartest person I knew. As a matter of fact, he was the main person who would be interviewed on TV for all NASA-related material. He always thought I had too much imagination. I kept asking him if he believed aliens were visiting this planet, and his answer was always the same. Absolutely not. It is impossible to get from point A to point B, and even if it was at the speed of light, the G-forces would plaster you all over the roof of the ship. Not possible, he would say. I now know that's how conventional wisdom and science that's taught here on Earth works. It's a paradigm, and I predict that one day scientists will have to learn the new science, new physics, etc. I remember how he met astronaut Edgar Mitchell. Who would have thought I would be interviewing Edgar Mitchell decades later? My cousin is no longer alive, but I wonder what he would say when he only met Edgar Mitchell for a minute and I had the chance to speak with him on the phone for an hour. From the mid-80s to the mid-90s, I took a self-imposed retreat on anything UFO-related. The giggle factor took its toll. Now, this is when things really get interesting. The company where I used to work transferred me from Puerto Rico to Miami, Florida. I was 23. I bought my very first house and was very excited. This is back in 1991. However, every night at 11:30 p.m., the intruder alarm would go off. I would run downstairs to see the panel, and it would point to my bedroom. It kept happening day after day. One night, I decided to sleep at the other room, which was my office. The alarm went off again at 11:30 p.m. I went downstairs, and this time, it was the sensor at the other room where I was sleeping. The next day, I decided to turn the alarm completely off. Actually, I almost yanked it from the wall. And back in my bedroom, at 11:30 p.m., a sound emanating from the stairway rail woke me up. It's as if someone hit the rail with a metal. I jumped from bed and went running toward the stairs, wondering if I was imagining the sound. I touched the rail and it was vibrating. I attributed the alarm situation to maybe electronics, but the vibration at 11:30 p.m. really puzzled me. Then Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida and nothing happened for some time. Then I was offered a position in Mexico City and I took it immediately. I was living at a hotel for a while and was happy that nothing was happening at 11:30 p.m. Maybe hotels are immune. A couple of months later, I moved to my own apartment. The first night, I woke up at 11:30 p.m. and saw the window open and the curtains moving with the wind. It was really cold, I remember that. Well, I thought I may have left the window open. So the next day, I made sure the window was tightly closed. 11:30 p.m. comes along, I wake up, and the window is open again, and the curtains flapping. Now, I'm not only nervous at this time, I felt I was going delusional. The biggest problem was that I was trained by society not to talk about this to anyone, since people would think I was crazy. The next day, I go to the office really early. And now things are going to get really interesting now. I was hiring at the time. All of a sudden, the first candidate comes along. It was this middle-aged woman, probably in her late 40s, with very long nails and too much makeup. The first thing that came to mind was, she looks like a witch. I still remember the strong perfume and cigarette smell. Everyone smoked there but me. During the interview process, she politely stopped me and said, "Sir, are you okay?" Being that I'm a very private person and do not share anything with someone whom I just met, I said, "Of course I'm fine. Why do you ask?" She said to me that I looked as if I were in a trance. Don't ask me why, but I hired this lady on the spot. I usually took about 2 to 4 interviews before I hired anyone. She was very excited and said to me before she left, "Sir, may I borrow your pocket pen and I will bring it back in the morning." Strangely enough, I thought it was strange, but I proceeded to give her my pen. The next day, her first day on the job, she comes to the office and returns my pen. All of a sudden, she starts telling me aspects of my life that only I knew. At that point, I felt totally compelled to share with her the 11:30 p.m. story. She said someone was trying to communicate with me, but I was not allowing it. Being that I'm a skeptic, I was rolling my eyes. She said she was being as serious as the information she just gave me. She told me that I needed to learn how to meditate. Every night, I tried to concentrate and nothing happened. However, one thing did happen. Nothing else happened at 11:30 p.m. after I met this lady. We became friends and she almost treated me like a son. At the time, I had a girlfriend who had left for a weekend in Cancun. Amalia, that was the lady's name, said to me, "Hey, so your girlfriend is at the beach, right?" And I said, "How do you know that?" "I just know," she said. "She's staying at a hotel that looks like a pyramid, and she's a bit bruised on her knee. She had a little accident with a jet ski," the lady said. I had no idea where she was staying, but the next day, my girlfriend returns and drops by the office to say hello. The first thing I do is touch her knee and she yells, "Ouch!" She said, "Watch it, I bumped into my knee while jet skiing." I had to sit down immediately. I said to her, "Were you staying at a hotel that looked like a pyramid?" And she said, "Yes. Were you spying on me?" Now, fast forward a couple of months. The lady shows up in my office in the morning, crying. I closed the door and asked her what was wrong. Why was she crying? She said, "I'm crying because you're leaving Mexico." I said, "Why? I love it here. No reason for me to leave." She said, "Soon you will receive a telephone call from someone and you will leave." Not even a week later, the Mexico peso devaluation happened and things got really bad. My former boss calls me from California and says, "Are you okay? Do you want me to get you out of there?" Although I was happy, I could not afford staying there since everything tripled in one day, money-wise. So I told him yes. I hadn't told anyone yet in the office. The next day, the lady comes in and says, "You got your phone call, didn't you?" I was now more or less used to her paranormal behavior, so I said yes. A few days before I was to leave, she gave me a little red pouch that had some stones inside and told me to always keep it with me and to never open it. So I immediately put it in my wallet. Then she started telling me things about my future. She said, "You will lose a next of kin in the next few months." At that time, aside from my grandparents and the elderly in my family, I hadn't lost anyone. She said, "You will end up in a place that's very warm and surrounded by lots of nature. You will meet someone like this." She was describing who's now my wife almost exactly. She said I was going to have children, a girl and a boy. I have a girl so far. She said in the future, I was going to leave the company and buy a business. And among other things, she said that I had a duty to inform the world and that I was going to do something in the future that was going to be informing the world. Now, that one was totally foreign to me. Informing the world, that made absolutely no sense to me. And this is before the internet, by the way. In any event, she said she would meet me at the airport to say goodbye with a letter containing more. She did not show up at the airport. I called the office a week later after I arrived in California, and they told me the lady never went back to work. I called her at home, and her number was disconnected. She basically vanished, almost as if she had a job to do, and she did it. 9 months later, after arriving in California, my father died of a heart attack. I remember mountain biking that day before I got the call. It was as if I knew I was going to get the call. I even went to the video store and rented the movie My Life, Michael Keaton, if you haven't watched it. And throughout the movie, I knew something was wrong. All of a sudden, I got a call from my mother. I flew to Puerto Rico, and my father was already on life support. Was that the first prediction? Weeks later, I went back to the video store and heard people talking about the movie Communion, Whitley Strieber's story. At the time, since I had been totally disconnected from the UFO world, I had no idea who Whitley Strieber was. I asked the attendant if he had watched the movie, and he said, "If you like the UFO topic, you must watch Communion." I went back home and was fascinated with Whitley Strieber's story. At the time, The X-Files had just started its first or second season. I was hooked once again, so I was pulled back. I continued being promoted professionally, and aside from my father's untimely death, everything else was fine. I was traveling in New York one night. It was snowing, and I stopped to get some gas. I get back to the hotel and realized I had lost my wallet. The first thing that came to mind was the red bag. The next day, the police called me, letting me know they found the wallet. No money, but the red bag was inside. However, it was open. Perhaps someone thought it contained diamonds. A feeling of paranoia took over. I remember the lady's words, "Don't ever open the bag." Since it was open, I decided to look inside. They looked like dark brown little stones, almost like voodoo. What can I do? I flew back to California, and not even 2 days later, one morning, I got a voicemail from my boss. He wanted to see me immediately after I got in. I go into his office, was asked to close the door, and was greeted with the following: "Your position has been eliminated." Although my position was very profitable for the company, they decided to eliminate it. I remember leaving my boss's office and going to the Crystal Cathedral in Orange County, right next door. It was the closest place where I could be by myself. Again, I thought, this can't be happening to me. Could this be the red bag? I was by myself, thousands of miles away from home, and almost losing my job. Eventually, I was offered another less appealing job with the company. At least I was not unemployed. Then I was offered a position in Arizona. I really needed to be close to the ocean. I'm from the Caribbean, but my boss at the time basically told me, if you don't accept the job, you may be without one. So I had no choice but to say yes. I moved to Arizona in late 1996. A few days after arriving in Arizona, I was invited to a party. And there I met a business broker who gave me his card and said, if you ever want to buy a business, here's my card. Well, of course, I had no idea I would buy a business, but something told me to keep the card in a safe place, and I did. In 1997, I met who is now my wife. All of a sudden, they wanted me to relocate again, this time to New Jersey. And for the first time in 12 years, I said no. Some of you listening know exactly what happens when you say no to a relocation or a promotion. You're stuck. Because I said no, they demoted my title. I kept thinking, the red bag. Why did I have to drop my wallet in the snow? Bear in mind, I've never been a superstitious person. In any event, I stayed in that position for almost 2 years. In late 1998, I decided to be brave. I decided to open my wallet, retrieve the business broker's card, and proceeded to call him. To make a long story short, I bought a business with every penny I had saved, I quit the company, and I got married. Well, it's been over 11 years, and since then, I have been very fortunate. For the past decade, I have had a very traditional life. Fast forward 10 years to November 2008. At the time, my wife was writing a book. I said to myself, wow, she's really happy finding a passion. I should find one. That night, I had a dream, and during the dream, all I could hear was, take action. Then, during the day, I was channel surfing. Bear in mind, I hardly watch TV. I've said this before, but that day I decided to turn the subliminal tube on. Almost every news channel was playing this man who was talking about his UFO encounter in the late 1950s. I kept switching channels back and forth, and he was being interviewed everywhere, but just for a few minutes each. There was so much I wanted to know about this man, and the words, take action, kept popping in my head. I kept thinking, what could take action mean? I went outside and started thinking, take action, Milton Torres, questions. I put the three together, and that only meant that I needed to contact him. But how do I contact this man who's all over the news worldwide? Well, you start looking for his telephone number. In less than 10 minutes, I had found his telephone number. Don't ask me how, it just happened. My instinct was to call him and ask him many questions. But how will he say yes to a phone call from just a regular citizen? I needed to pretend I was calling from a show, but I didn't have a name for this quote-unquote show. I asked my wife, and I told her I wanted a name that dealt with everything, not just UFOs. She uttered the word Veritas. I grabbed the telephone and called Milton Torres. I told him I was Mel Fabregas from the Veritas show and that I wanted to interview him. I scheduled the interview for the next week, and he accepted. I hung up, and I sat down. I immediately started to look for a recording machine. I called him the next week, recorded our conversation, and he believed it was a show. I then uploaded the recording to a few websites, and people started emailing me asking when the next show was going to be airing. Next show? This is a telephone call, not a show, I thought. Then, all of a sudden, I don't know how I got in touch with Stephen Bassett, who asked me for Milton Torres' telephone number because he wanted to invite him to the upcoming X conference, and those of you who watched it, so that he did attend. I told Steve, no problem, here's his contact information. Now, can I interview you next week? And he said, sure, at what time? At that point, I thought the genie was out of the bottle. I had to create a quick website, and I did. I interviewed Stephen Bassett, and that was the first real interview. Again, people started emailing me from all over the world. After a few weeks of doing the show, it dawned on me that this had to be the "you will be informing the world" portion of what the lady said. What else could it be? How and what pushed me to start this? I swear to you, it felt as if I was being remote controlled to do this without consciously knowing what I was doing. I've said this before, I'm not an expert on anything, and I have never interviewed someone in my life. I have given lectures, but never talked publicly on UFO-related topics. It's as if an invisible hand was guiding me. And here I am, from watching the movie and reading the book Communion, to interviewing Whitley Strieber. What are the chances? And there is more information that was given to me by the lady, which I'm not going to share now, because it's too personal and it's in the future. I would rather keep that to myself. My conclusion is that every action in life has a long-term effect. Every decision you make, no matter how small, can change your life forever. I now believe there is a reason why we are all here. We all have a purpose. I feel that it took a long time for my true purpose to be revealed, and I honestly think it is what I was meant to do and more. If anyone has a better interpretation, I welcome your comments. I still cannot wrap my arms around what I have told you tonight. It just happened. I apologize for the long speech, but I wanted to share with you what I shared with the audience last Saturday. Hopefully, now the show may have a new meaning to you. Who knows what's in store for us? I just hope you stick around, because my goal is to get answers for all of us. If anyone has any idea, again, about what happened to me, just know I'm still looking for answers, and I guess one of those answers is to take action, and to do it without analyzing things so much. Perhaps that's how the universe works. Thank you.